Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a Thursday. A lot going on today. Loaded show. In Los Angeles, it's called The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. An hour from now, Joel Klatt live in studio. We will have our own mock draft. We did this about a month ago with Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL scout. I dominated. So Joel Klatt comes in, sits on the couch, and we go through half the first round. We'll do a mock draft, which I'm very prone to do at home all the time. Very excited about this. The Klatster's rolling in, has the courage to be beaten badly on television. So I do respect that. Joy Taylor is joining me. How are you, Joy?
I'm great. Feels like spring is almost here.
I know. Really does.
It's April's just around the corner.
I went for a walk yesterday. It was beautiful outside. Unbelievable.
It's very nice.
Very nice. So Charles Barkley, who I'm a big fan of. Listen, James Harden is doing a great job in Brooklyn. But we see this all the time. We've talked about this with Lamar Jackson. Right now, he's a great regular season quarterback. Is he a great postseason quarterback? We've seen this. A-Rod was a great player, but he was never quite as good in the postseason. That's James Harden. He's a dominant regular season player. He's not as dominant in the postseason. And my belief has always been because he doesn't get the whistle in the playoffs. Referees get out of the way. And the further the playoffs go, the conference finals, the finals, I mean, it's wrestling. Refs do not want to decide it. They want the stars to decide it. The refs don't have a favorite. Their favorite's swallowing the whistle. And you just don't get the whistle. And Harden's game is built for the whistle. So was Karl Malone's. But let's listen to Charles Barkley, who made quite a statement on James Harden a couple of days ago.
He is the most awesome offensive player I've ever seen. Listen, Michael and Kobe were better players from the guard standpoint. But as far as offensively, they couldn't shoot threes like him. They were not as great as dribbling the basketball, going to the basket, getting fouled. I mean, this guy, every time he goes to the basket, he's going to hit somebody and get two free throws.
Except in the playoffs. If you look at James Harden's regular season numbers and his postseason numbers, his field goal percentage goes down, his free throw attempts go down, his three-point percentage goes down, his points go down. They don't plummet, but they're not the same. Whereas Michael Jordan and Kobe were often at their greatest in the playoffs. We keep falling for three or four things in sports. One of the things we always fall for is the quarterbacks in the draft from big-name schools. They don't dominate the league. Go look at the last year's eight division winners. Not a single one was from a football power. Look at Tua. Because from big-name schools, being a quarterback is all about comfort. Receivers are wide open. You never get hit. NFL quarterback is all about discomfort. Can you just get hit constantly? We keep falling for that. The star quarterback from the big university, the Alabama quarterback, you know, look around the league. That's not who dominates the league. It's guys from Boston College and NC State and Miami of Ohio and Cal. That's one of the things we fall for. The second thing we always fall for is the flashy point guard in the NBA that can't shoot. Derrick Rose, John Wall, Russell Westbrook. If you can't shoot and you're under 6'5 in this league, you will never dominate it. You will never be a huge factor in the playoffs. You got to be able to shoot. Now, if you're LeBron and can drive, or you're 6'9, you're a dominant wing or a big, that becomes less important. But if you're 6'4 or under and can't shoot, you become actually a playoff liability. The third thing in sports we always fall for is the 12-year, $400 million baseball contract. None have ever looked good halfway through it. The Mookie Betts deal is the first one that has a chance to not be awful because he's great, he's healthy, he signed it young enough so by the end of it he'll be out of his prime, but he won't be an old man. And that has a chance to be a good one. And even the last 3 years of that, and Mookie's the best player in the game or second best, you're way overpaying for him. James Harden's regular season dominance is falling into this category. If I have to hear another person tell me how great he is in the regular season, He's Karl Malone. And I covered Karl Malone. Karl Malone is scored the second most points in league history. That's insane, right? In the history of the planet. Karl Malone scored the second most points. More than Michael, more than LeBron, more than Kobe, more than Hakeem, more than Shaq, more than everybody except Kareem. No rings, two final trips. Well, Karl Malone depended on the whistle. Look at the top five scorers of all time. Kareem's got six titles. LeBron's got four. Kobe's got five and MJ six. Karl, zero. Why? Don't tell me he didn't have help. John Stockton's a top five point guard ever. Jerry Sloan was a top two or three coach in the league. Mark Eaton led the NBA during that time with Karl Malone, blocking shots four times, five times first or second team all defense. So he had first or second best rim protector, first or second best point guard, top three coach, and Karl, and they always had, and by the way, one of the great home court advantages, they got no rings, got two trips. Wasn't like the West had dominant teams every year because Karl Malone depended on the whistle. I covered some of those series, Utah, Portland. It's not that he didn't ever get the whistle, but you don't get it in those big deciding games. James Harden, similarly, has 23 times in his career scored over 50 points. Never in the playoffs. Because to score 50 points, you got to get to the free throw line a lot, and you do not in the playoffs. That is the difference. Kobe didn't depend on the whistle. Larry Bird didn't depend on the whistle. Michael Jordan didn't depend on the whistle. Magic didn't depend on the whistle. They would get the whistle, but they didn't need it to definitively cement their game, and Harden does. It's not to say this team can't get to the finals, but that ball-centric style, how many years are we going to see it? It rolls in the regular season. It dries up in the postseason. As many of you know, it's unfortunate. It's very hurtful, but Cleveland doesn't like me. I have been more right on the Cleveland Browns than any team in the last 3 years, Joy, as my witness. I told you John Dorsey would not work as a GM. Right. I told you Freddie Kitchens' disaster. Right. I told you Kevin Stefanski finally was a grown-up. It would work. And I told you Baker Mayfield's talented, but he's not number one pick talented. And the Browns, the numbers tell you, are better when he throws less. This is interesting. Jadeveon Clowney is close to signing with Cleveland. Now, Jadeveon Clowney's one of those guys that he's never quite lived up to the hype, but now he's undervalued. Okay, he can play. He's a good player. Now, he's not worth big money. He's not as good as his hype. But the idea that Jadeveon Clowney isn't good is ridiculous. Last time he was playing for Seattle, there was a playoff game. He made plays all over the field. Jadeveon Clowney's a good football player. He got so hyped out of college that we expect him to like be Mike Tyson and knock everybody out. And that's just not what he is. He's inconsistent. But he's a really good football player. And my takeaway, if Clowney signs with Cleveland, they are now the third most talented team in the NFL. Tampa 1, best roster, Kansas City 2, and Cleveland 3. Well, Tampa just won a Super Bowl, and Kansas City won it 2 years ago. No more excuses for Baker Mayfield. Competent head coach, competent GM, best offensive line, great weapons, and they have done a great job to solve the back end of their defense this offseason. They really have. John Johnson, tremendous safety. So this morning, if Clowney signs with Cleveland, there are four overwhelming favorites in the AFC. Kansas City, Buffalo, Indy, and Cleveland. Baltimore's close, but not in that group. It is go time. It is go time for Baker Mayfield. This is a stacked roster if they get Clowney. You'd have Clowney. You got Myles Garrett, Olivier Vernon, just as pass rushers. Folks, this is a big deal. Don't buy into this Clowney's overrated. Clowney can play. Not worth big money, and Cleveland's not going to give him big money, but Clowney can play. Clowney's a playmaker. And when you have a team as good as Cleveland that got to the playoffs last year, you're looking for playmakers. You're not going to get Trent Williams left tackle on the market. You're not going to get that. But guys that can make plays in big spots, absolutely. I'd take Jadeveon Clowney tomorrow for that. I just don't want to build my franchise around him. So, and Colin, I see stories this morning. Would Cleveland be the favorites in the AFC North? Of course they would. I called it a week ago. Of course they would. Cleveland is and should be favored to win the AFC North if they land Clowney. I'm not saying, listen, I said this last week before they had Clowney, but this is a real pickup. He's a real football player. Don't listen to anybody. Dude can play and make plays.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
So let's bring in Joel Klatt, the voice of college football at our network. He's very, very eager to show us his talent. So mock drafts are a lot of...
Guys, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Hi, Joy.
Hi.
Now, you live down in that rogue county, Orange County.
Yes.
So you don't have to wear a mask while you sleep. So welcome up to Los Angeles County.
Oh, wow.
So it's a little crazier up
here. A little different up here.
So we're going to do... We got some sound effects. Ryan.
Oh, this is going to be so good.
Ryan, do you got some... drop some draft sound effects here, Ryan. We just want to make the audience...
Like when Colin does something silly at number one.
And also, do you have some crowd noise in the back so the rumble... Because there's always a crowd. I've been to...
Boo!
So we're going to try this a really big... That's
who's
a little loud.
Who's the crowd booing?
Well, they're not...
The Jets, clearly.
Okay.
Well, they better not be booing me. I'm the one reading it, generally... That's the commissioner.
Point. All right. So are you reading the so we're going to go 1 through 16. We do half the first round.
Okay.
It's about 12 minutes long. I did it before Daniel Jeremiah who
he's so good by
the
way.
He limped out of this. He was swollen after the beating he took from me dominating him. All right. So I get the first pick.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yes. The show's not called The Clap.
No, I understand that. And whoever finishes last usually gets the first pick, so go ahead.
So go ahead.
All right. The Jaguars.
Okay. Let's go. Here we go. So that's an easy one. That's the easiest pick I'll make.
I agree.
Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson. I don't love big school quarterbacks going in the NFL. I like my guys to get beat up a little in college. I just think he is, since Andrew Luck, he's the lock at quarterback. Big games, Alabama's, Ohio State's, he can move. Mm-hmm. A lot of Justin Herbert, he can move, he's smart. He's, you know, you can tell he's got some innate leadership qualities to him.
Yeah, I agree.
I really like him, and I liked him 2 or 3 years ago, and he's gotten better every year. I just think he checks all the boxes for me, so I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence. Urban Meyer gets his guy.
All right. At number two, the New York Jets are selecting Joel.
I'm actually with Colin on this. I like Sam Darnold a lot. I have since college. I think that the Jets actually stick with Sam Darnold, so I'm going to go with Penei Sewell. Okay, Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon, is my pick. This guy has extreme upside, right? I mean, his athleticism is off the charts. His feet are off the charts. He's very smart. He's young. He's probably still a little underdeveloped, which is why he's not going to flash as the most polished offensive pass blocker. But he is a physical freak, and I think that the Jets give Darnold a little bit of help. Robert Saleh looks at that offensive line and says, you know what? We can build something, and I take Penei Sewell, number two, from Oregon.
All right, number three, the Miami Dolphins are selecting. Colin?
Okay. Trey Lance.
Whoa. The first whoa.
Oh, I think he's special.
Okay.
Big,
you got that
strong
off of his 300 passing attempts in college?
By the way, I'm not going to lie. He was at my house 24 hours ago.
Oh, name drop. I love your name. They're
very
so good.
Humble, very gracious. He's got all the right things in life that he cares about.
Everything that you're not.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. I like to hang around people that fill in the blanks for me.
That's an interesting
okay,
one. I don't agree with that one at all.
Oh, time out. I'm not getting trapped with Tua. Because
You take an inexperienced guy?
No.
Do you know in his one season as a starter, Trey Lance threw 18 passes per game? That's like nothing. He's very inexperienced. I'm not saying I love Trey Lance's skill set. I get it.
I don't need to start him for the first year.
Okay.
But I'm not getting trapped with Tua.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Number four, the Atlanta Falcons.
I feel like this is a gift. This is a gift.
Joel.
The Falcons take Justin Fields, and he goes back home to Georgia to back up Matt Ryan as Matt Ryan plays out maybe the last couple of years, at least in a Falcons uniform. And Justin Fields, who needs a little development in particular because he can hold the ball too long at times. But remember, he's been the best player on the field in virtually every single game that he's played. He's hyper accurate with the ball down the field. He's an incredible athlete. And that leadership that you talked about with Trevor Lawrence, he has it in spades as well. Remember, one of the only reasons the Big Ten played football was because of Justin Fields and his leadership. I like the Falcons to take Justin Fields.
I totally disagree. Can he tackle? Because the team can't. They don't have any. They can't tackle. This is a terrible defense. Boy, you and I disagree with that.
Yeah, we do.
He's got Matt Ryan as a 75-year-old man. Matt's 35. Just wait till Arthur Smith makes Matt the MVP.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right, what do we got?
All Bengals? Right, number five, Bengals, Colin.
Matt's going to text me, by the way. He's like, really? You're drafting a quarterback? Go ahead.
I don't have these relationships you do.
Trey Lance was at my house. Very humble.
Okay. I'm going to take Rashawn Slater, Northwestern. He is what Joe Burrow's got Jonah Williams. So now you can bring a kid in that can play guard. He can play tackle. He matched that with Chase Young. This is somebody if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I didn't know much. And a bunch of smart people said, hey, you like this mock drafts? Go check this guy out. First of all, he's had really hard coaching at Northwestern. Yep. It's a really smart. They lay it on their players. They make their players figure out stuff. Heady kid, matched up against Chase Young. You can play him in or out. And to me, this league's about find a quarterback and then protect him. Yeah. It's what the Colts never did for Andrew Luck. Rashawn, what do you think about that pick?
You know what? I actually like that. And he is my second tackle on the board. I like that a lot. I love Slater as a pick. I think really high floor
for Slater. By the way, you had games. You saw him play.
I saw him play, and I know I was bummed that he wasn't on the field last year. He and Sewell both opted out, but Slater's a great player.
Oh, you guys agree on that one. That's nice. Philadelphia Eagles, Joel, number six.
They've got to make a decision on Hurts long term, and I love Jalen as a player. I just don't buy it long term for him. So and the way that this has played out, Zach Wilson is sitting there from BYU.
Oh my God.
So Zach Wilson goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. This guy is kind of he's a better version of Baker Mayfield and Carson Wentz all rolled up into one because he's got more arm talent, right? He can throw off platform. He can drop down. This guy plays the position of quarterback like a shortstop. So you're not afforded the opportunity to repeat your delivery. This is what some of these quarterbacks have wrong. You can't just sit there and be a statue. He's off platform and can drive the football down the field, makes wild plays all the time. You can be concerned about his level of competition, and I get that, but Zach Wilson, I think, is going to be a really good starter in the NFL.
The Detroit Lions, Colin, at number seven.
Okay, so this now, so much of me wants to take Micah Parsons, who ran a 4.3 yesterday. This defense is awful. They gave up the most yards. They gave up the most points. Detroit's awful defensively. But Kyle Pitts for Florida, Jared Goff just lost Kenny Golladay.
Mm.
You can't give Jared Goff. You can't go from McVay to Dan Campbell and then have no skill people. Kyle Pitts will be a 75-80 catch guy. You can put him out wide. You can put him at tight end. Hell, you can put him anywhere. Many people think I think he's a star, and I think Jared Goff needs help because I think he's downgrading a coach, downgrading an offensive line, and Kenny Golladay just walked out to the Giants. So I'm taking Kyle Pitts. I would much prefer to go defense. But I can't have Goff fail.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go defense.
I was.
That's interesting. And now I'm, oh gosh.
Joel, is he getting you? Because you're on the clock.
You got
number eight Panthers. Who you got?
Got all these teams that have quarterbacks taking them. You're running out.
I know. Well, that's the thing is I didn't think all the QBs would be all of
you
top
took
QBs. I understand that, but. I didn't think you were going to – to be honest, I didn't think you were going to take Trey Lance to that. I had Trey Lance going to the Panthers here at eight. You totally overdrafted him at three. I'm thrown for a loop right now. I'm just going to take best on my board because I think that you're getting a lot of value with Ja'Marr Chase here,
yes.
The wide receiver from LSU.
Yes.
And the Panthers, yes, they need a long-term answer at quarterback, but man, Ja'Marr Chase is unbelievable. You go back a couple of years, he was the best receiver in college football.
Oh, he's a man.
He is so good as a route runner. He creates space. He's great at the catch point. He's strong. I understand this doesn't like address a ton of needs, although they need outside help to take some pressure off of McCaffrey.
They lost Curtis Samuel.
They lost Curtis Samuel. You're exactly right. They do need long-term help. Maybe they can get a quarterback later in the draft, but Jamar Chase goes to the Panthers.
I actually think it's a great pick. You lost Curtis Samuel.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Okay, look at this.
Number nine, Broncos, Colin.
Well, it's really interesting because if I'd have done this mock draft with Klatt, who was chicken about a month ago, but he finally addressed it and decided to come. But I would have taken a corner, but they just went and paid for
Yeah, they got Kyle Fuller.
So, but I still think they're bad at corner. So the question, because this is my hardest pick because I'm not a Drew Lock fan.
Yeah, I know. They need a QB.
But I'm not a Mac Jones fan.
Yeah.
And also, they need a corner, but they addressed it with Kyle Fuller.
Right.
I also think they could upgrade at tackle,
yep.
But I don't think it's a necessity. And I do think they need an interior defensive lineman, but none of them to me. I got Bradley Chubb. Von Miller's older. This is a hard pick for me. You know, and they don't need wide receiver. So
you would love to trade out. We're not trading right now, but you'd love to trade out.
Okay,
right
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to double down on corner. I'm going to go Caleb Farley, Virginia Tech.
Okay, that's not terrible.
No, listen, they got a bunch of stuff, and I think Vic Fangio is a very good defensive coach. Listen, they're in a division with Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Derek Carr.
That's exactly right.
You got to have corners.
Well, and specifically Mahomes and Herbert. You got to cover down the field for a long time. You know, so they need guys that can cover. I'm you know what? I like that. Hate that I like some of these picks that you're giving right now.
Number 10, Dallas Cowboys, Joel.
The Cowboys need some help. They're not going to be happy that you just grabbed Caleb Farley. I'm going to go with Patrick Surtain.
Yep.
From Alabama, the corner. They need help on the outside. Listen, the Cowboys tied for the most 25-yard passing touchdowns given up in the league last year. They have got to have guys that can cover. This guy, I think, is the best cover corner in the draft. You can put him anywhere in the slot on the outside. He's big. He's physical. You just saw him run a couple of days ago. He can you know, blow it out in terms of a timed 40. Patrick Surtain goes to the Cowboys.
Boy, this is getting tough now because the Giants just acquired. I would have said Giants need a wide receiver, but they just went out and paid for Kenny Golladay, and they already have Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard, and then they got Kyle Rudolph and Evan Engram. So they don't need a tight end, and they don't need a wide receiver. So this mock draft that I did a month ago, I addressed all those, but they solved those.
They did.
This is how it happens real time. Who are you taking, Colin, with the Giants?
I'm going to go offensive line. I got to protect Daniel Jones. I'm going to go you know what? I like the viability of Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yeah, I
USC.
Like that.
They can go inside or out. He's a better guard than a tackle, but he had a great year. The bottom line is they are stacked at tight end. They addressed wide receiver. They even got a backup for Saquon Barkley, and their defense is not the issue. Their defensive front's fine, and they went and paid for Dory Jackson. So they went and addressed corners. So if you start looking at what they need, it's an offensive lineman like the kid from Northwestern that you can move in or out. And Vera Tucker had a great year at left tackle. Now, the Pac-12 didn't have a ton of great pass rushers.
But like you said, he can move inside.
Move him inside.
Which is good. And they need help protecting. And by the way, now my three best offensive linemen are off the board. I think those three are separating themselves through this process. Yeah. So we've got Sewell off the board, Vera Tucker off the board, and Rashawn Slater off the board.
All right, the 49ers, Joel.
I think that they've got to go out there and replace what they're losing at corner, right? And at this point, I think that J.C. Horn makes a lot of sense.
Good player.
The cornerback from South Carolina.
My scouts love him.
Yeah, a lot of people that I'm talking to within the NFL say that he's quietly really pushing those top two corners right now, that it's a good draft up there at the top with these three guys that can cover well, and he's got good ball skills, which people love, the ability to go out there and create turnovers. So I've got the 49ers going with J.C. Horn from South Carolina.
By the way, that division's got D.K. Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and the Rams pieces. And now
Cardinals, now you're going to have to deal with Stafford.
And DeAndre Hopkins. So it's a great wide receiver division. I mean, those three teams are stacked at wide receivers, so that's not a bad pick by you at all.
The L.A. Chargers at 13, Colin.
Well, they address center and guard. I believe they're going to go. I think they're going to stay on the offensive line because Derwin James comes back at safety.
Ooh, so you're overdrafting here.
Well, you don't even know who I drafted.
I know the offensive lineman in the draft, and you're overdrafting right now. If he's going offensive line, Joey, he's overdrafting.
Well,
go ahead. No, that's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I've got the next pick, so I'm ecstatic that you're overdrafting. Go ahead.
I'm going to take Christian Darrisaw, Virginia Tech, tackle.
Overdrafting.
He's very big. He looks very strong to me.
That's great.
They're bad at tackle. What are you going to do?
I understand that, but sometimes you just got to go value.
Where do you think he should go?
At that point, right? Darrisaw, to me,
I took him at 13. Not,
I mean, mid-20s, I think, is high enough for him. And you've got some wide receivers on the board that you can pair up with a young quarterback. You still got Waddle on the board. You still got Devontae Smith on the board.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. There's like 25 guys All right. What do you got?
All right, the Vikings, Joel.
Vikings have got to update their pass rush, right? I mean, their edge on their defense has got to – so I got Kwity Paye, the edge defensive end from Michigan. I think he was used poorly at Michigan because they didn't allow him to just sit at defensive end like the five technique or seven technique and just rush the passer and develop. They were using him in stunts too much. That's why his production wasn't quite as what you would want to see. But he is a physical freak, and I think he's the best edge player in the draft.
All right, what about all those receivers you were talking about?
Well, they don't need those receivers. So they were, I think, believe last 23 sacks. Fifth worst in the league. They gave up 4,000 passing yards. They've got to get to the quarterback.
I don't disagree with their need. I agree.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
New England Patriots, Colin.
But this is, by the way.
Oh, do it.
I predicted this.
Do it.
Before he got out here, I put Jalen Waddle down, and I'm doing it. Wide receiver, Alabama. So okay. They got Kendrick Bourne, who's a 4. N'Keal Harry's a 3 or a 4. Nelson Aguilar's a 2. They upgraded tight ends, so I think this is a can't-miss. I think this kid is really special. I think he gets overshadowed by Suggs last year and by Devontae Smith because he got banged up a little bit. I think he's a stud.
I love Waddle. I really do. He's not as good of a route runner as Devontae Smith, and route runners usually have more success at the NFL level than guys that are just like physical talents. But I'm with you. I'm like I'm nitpicking here. Nitpicking, Colin.
All right, finally.
Oh.
Joe Flatt, you were the Cardinals selecting at 16.
Oh, by the way, all those receivers you talked about, you may want to snag one there.
I am going to take Devontae Smith right there. Cardinals take Devontae Smith.
Ooh.
Well,
I wanted to take a corner for them because obviously they lost Patrick Peterson. They lost Drake Kirkpatrick. I wanted to maybe even look at defensive tackle, but I don't think that there's a tackle that you can really value at that point. And if Smith is on the board, you look at his body of work, the separation that he gets. I understand that he's slight, but man, this guy is wide open all the time. And I love the creativity that Sark used at Alabama because you could say, hey, he's too small to get off the line of scrimmage against physical corners, right? And that might be true, but look how Sark used him. He was constantly in motion. He was off the ball. They used him in such creative ways, and that reminds me of what Cliff could do with him with Arizona. So a creative play caller, a great quarterback with Kyler Murray, I think that Devontae Smith could be a real explosion player for the Cardinals.
All right, so let's look at Joel Klatt and I. So
how do we do? Anybody? Did we leave anybody on the board?
You screwed up my board with your Penei Sewell to the Jets, and then I screwed up yours with Trey Lance.
Yeah, that one was
weird. Well, you know,
was
can
weird.
I just explain Trey Lance, who was at my house a couple nights ago?
He was.
So, my thing
very
is.
Very humble.
I'm claustrophobic. I don't like being trapped. I tell Joy this. I think that's a bad quarterback draft class next year. You get to week 8 with Tua, and you got Sean McDermott, defensive coach, and Belichick, defensive coach, and Robert Saleh, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm trapped with Tua. I bring Trey Lance in. You don't have to play. But I get to make a decision the following year, so I'm essentially drafting Trey Lance for next year. He'll easily be the best quarterback prospect next year.
So you want to take the third pick in this year's draft for the chance that it could be next year's pick?
You got Justin Fields at 4, and he's not going to take a snap for 2 years.
Well, maybe not. I mean, the Falcons are trying to get out of that contract with Matt Ryan, so who knows if they can move him or not.
It's good luck.
Well, I understand. I mean, that's a big...
that's a lot of dead cap money.
That's a big number and good for Matt in that sense.
I got to be honest. I feel like I stole Kyle Pitts. God, Goff got lucky. Poor kid goes to Detroit from L.A.
But you see how it happens, though. This is why I love doing these type of – because every year we were like, how did that guy fall? And it's like, because it happens, right? Because team needs trump best available. Fit trumps best available. All of these things are interesting. And one of the things that I keep coming back to when I'm doing this, when I'm ranking players, when I'm looking at team needs and everything, it has to do with fit. Colin, don't you even think it more so has to do with the organization's intent? You know, like a plan. What's the blueprint for this player that you're drafting? I think too many times we see organizations and they're just like, all right, we took this guy and we'll see. You know, like Isaiah Wilson. You know, they're like, hey, you know, the Titans are like, we'll see. It didn't turn out.
Every year somebody drops in the draft. Micah Parsons, who's a great player.
Yes, he is.
But if you start looking at what, like, I would have taken Micah Parsons at 7 with Detroit. That was I had it written down. But in the end, Kyle Pitts fell, and I think.
And he's sitting there.
And Goff just lost Golladay. You can't have Goff behind a bad O-line without a star. So I would have taken Micah Parsons at 7 because their defense is abysmal. But Kyle Pitts is going to win you more games than Micah Parsons.
Probably.
So that's so. And by the way, and then you get to Carolina, and the truth is you lost Curtis Samuel. So I actually love the Ja'Marr Chase pick.
Because if he's there.
By the way, had they not traded Curtis Samuel, I would go with Micah Parsons.
Right. Then. No, I totally agree. This is why free agency has to play out. I love this exercise. It's very fun. I mean, who knows if any of those will be correct, but that was fun. That was a good exercise right there.
Hey, you come on the show. It's not paddleball here.
Oh.
It's UFC.
Very
it's
humble.
Octagon.
This is octagon
you
stuff?
You take some shots in here.
You know,
a lot of these shows are Cream Puff City. Not this
show. Not this one. Ask Trey Lance. He was at Colin's house 2 nights ago.
All right. Let's hear it for Joel Klatt. Excellent effort by Joel Klatt.
Appreciate it, sir. Appreciate
it. Very excellent effort.